So, you know, I want to start by looking at this topic of what we put in our mouths, eating, and why we eat and how we should eat. It's a big topic, and it's responsible for a significant percentage of the effect size that's compromising people's health today because we make poor eating choices. So the first question we want to ask is, why do we eat at all? I mean, when you think about all the time and trouble that's associated with eating, the shopping, the chopping, the chewing, the defecating, why don't we just stop it altogether and just say enough is enough and not do any more of it? The reason is there's a need to eat, and we have to ask ourselves, what is it about eating that we need to do? If we don't eat, well, we die. But the question is, why do we die? Do we die from what? Boredom? Or is there something about eating that gives us something that we need to survive? And the answer is, of course, we eat because there's things about eating that are necessary. Number one, we need a source of fuel. It's true, you can fast, a healthy 70 kilogram male could fast probably 70 days or more, but eventually you deplete your reserves and you would starve and die. So we need a source of calories. Now, if all we needed was calories, the most efficient source of calories for humans is actually fat. We could maybe just drink oil. You know, you could have a 55-gallon drum of oil delivered every few months and just, every day take a cupful of oil. But it wouldn't work because it turns out it's not just a couple thousand calories of fuel a day we need. There's other things we need as well. For example, we need water. We're mostly water, so we either need to drink water or eat foods that contain adequate water. We need protein. Protein contains amino acids. There are 20 amino acids that make up our body, but 12 of those can be made from carbohydrates, so they're not essential. But there are 8 amino acids as an adult, maybe 10 as a child, that are essential. That is, we must eat them in a preformed manner in order to get our protein needs met. We also need a source of essential fatty acids from fat, particularly to be able to form omega-3 fatty acids, primarily to form things like decarboxylic acid and other essential fats. We also need vitamins to catalyze chemical reactions. For example, vitamin C. If you don't get enough vitamin C, you'll develop problems, including scurvy. A serious connective tissue disorder. The people that used to get scurvy were sailors that would go out onto the ocean for 6 months and live on hardtack, dried meat and bread, and they would develop scurvy. Now, they learned that if they would take some limes along with them and suck on the limes, they didn't know what was in the lime. It was something that prevented scurvy. That something turned out to be vitamin C. That's why they used to call them limeys. Early research on vitamin C was very frustrating because they would use rats and mice, and it turns out rats and mice make their own vitamin C. Unlike humans, rats and mice can make vitamin C internally. Humans, the Indian fruit-eating bat, dachshunds, maybe a few other creatures don't make their own internal vitamin C, likely because we evolved in an environment that was so abundant in C that there was a biological advantage to not carry around that extra biosynthetic machinery. And so over time, we lost the ability to make vitamin C, but we get vitamin C abundantly in our traditional diets. And of course, there's a host of other chemicals in the form of vitamins that are important for getting these reactions. The most abundant source of vitamins for us today is, of course, fresh fruits and vegetables. Minerals also, necessary, calcium, magnesium, zinc, iodine, etc. We also need to get fiber in our diet. Fiber is a really important component in our diet. It forms the bulk of the stool. It feeds the bacteria, the microbiome that live in the stool, particularly soluble fibers. If we don't get enough fiber, then our stools become very hard, and we develop constipation, and then people strain their stools and they develop hemorrhoids and fissures and ptosis of the organs, including the uterus, and they get diverticulitis and they get varicose veins and all kinds of problems that come as a consequence of fiber deficiency. These conditions and consequences used to be very rare because people ate plant-based diets, but now, of course, they've become very common. And we also need phytochemicals. These are chemicals like resveratrol and other, there's 2,000 of these chemicals that come only from plants and are thought to help protect us and preserve our health. So whatever diet we put together, it better have enough calories and water and protein and fat and vitamins and minerals, fiber and phytochemicals. But it turns out you can get too much too. So the diet needs to not only ensure that we get enough, but it needs to ensure that we avoid too much. Too much calories leads to obesity, which leads to metabolic syndrome, which is the epidemic that we're suffering from today that's leading to premature death and disability in our society from heart disease, from stroke, from cancer, from autoimmune disease. And even conditions like COVID-19 and other infectious diseases, people that have metabolic syndrome are dramatically more vulnerable to having serious consequences from all of these illnesses. Too much water, sure, too much water. If you force water intake excessively, you can get water intoxication. It can flush out your electrolytes, and in the worst case scenarios, even lead to death. Too much protein, major issues. Too much protein, even maybe more than too much fat, is responsible for everything from kidney disease, coronary artery disease, and problems with cancer and other issues. Too much fat, well-recognized excess fat intake. The fat we eat is the fat we wear. And so excess fat intake can lead, again, to obesity and all the downstream consequences. Too much vitamins, absolutely. In fact, it's really interesting. If you look at studies where they, for example, with cancer, where they tried to give vitamin A, thinking that that antioxidant effect would help people live longer with cancer, turned out to do just the opposite. And study after study, they had to discontinue the study because the patients that were supplemented with the vitamin pill were dying at a higher rate than the people that were not. So too much nutrients can definitely be a problem. In fact, it's a major problem in patients that I see. Sometimes just getting them off their big bag of pills and potions is enough to allow the body to start its necessary healing process. Now, there are nutrients that may be justified to supplement, for example, vitamin B12 in vegans, because vegans don't get the fecal contamination and other issues and other sources of B12 that meat eaters do. They do need to supplement B12 in order to ensure that they don't develop long-term problems. But for, in general, the best place to get your vitamins and minerals is from your whole plant food diet. Minerals, again, you got to get enough, but you don't want too much. Supplementing even common things like calcium can lead to kidney stones and other problems and doesn't prevent the osteoporosis and issues that people think they're helping when they take these vitamin supplements. However, eating a mineral-rich diet, which essentially means a vegetable-rich diet, necessary to sustaining long-term health. Fiber, not getting enough fiber, as we talked about, can lead to serious problems with constipation and other problems. But getting enough fiber and the right kind of fiber, the soluble fiber necessary to maintain and feed the microbiome that lives in your intestinal tract. You have 5 pounds of bacteria living in your gut right now, an important part of protecting you, of forming nutrients that you need, protecting you from infectious disease and others. And so eating a plant-rich diet will allow you to have the diversity of organisms necessary to sustain optimum health. For example, people that eat a high animal food diet tend to produce massively more TMA, which becomes trimethylamine oxidase and is an irritating substance that's thought to be in part responsible for the increased risk of colon cancer and other problems associated with significant amounts of animal food intake.